I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 16. While you're doing that, I just want to remind you of something that has been in our Sunday paper for the last few weeks, and that is on April the 6th, Saturday evening, April the 6th at 5:30, here at Brooks Avenue, we are going to be hosting an area-wide fundraising dinner for Carolina Bible Camp. And the focus of this dinner would be to provide money for scholarships to allow kids to come to CBC who otherwise would not be able to afford it. But what's different about this is that we are just going to be one of three venues that are going to be conducted simultaneously. At the same time, there's also going to be one going on at camp in Mocksville, North Carolina, and there's also going to be a dinner going on at the same time in Nashville, Tennessee. How are we going to pull that off? Well, our guest speaker will be James Franklin, who's a former NFL athlete, pro football player. He's the son of Willie Franklin, whom many may recognize that name. He was a popular youth rally speaker many years ago, and his son James has followed in his steps. He will be appearing at CBC in Mocksville, and we're going to be using Facebook Live to simultaneously broadcast his message to all the venues. So if you haven't yet signed up for that, I'd like to encourage you to do that. You know, Brooks Avenue has a huge investment over the years, not just financial, but in terms of people in Carolina Bible Camp. The cost is $50, and of course that helps not only to cover the cost of the meal, but also will go toward providing scholarships and anything else that is donated. So if you love CBC, or if you simply want to know more about Carolina Bible Camp, I hope that you will sign up and register for that dinner on April the 6th at 5:30. Hello, good morning. I am Dennis. And I am a faithful and grateful, very grateful follower of Jesus Christ. And I struggle with issues of codependency. Thank you. As you are aware, as many are aware, a couple of months ago, we launched a Celebrate Recovery ministry here at Brooks Avenue. And that's the way that we introduce ourselves and celebrate recovery. My name is Dennis. I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ. That part is so important to us because that is where our identity lies. We find our identity not in our behaviors, our hurts, hang-ups, or habits, but we find our identity in Jesus. And so as we introduce ourselves, we want to establish that up front, first and foremost. But then we go on to acknowledge what our struggle is with. In my case, it's codependency. Now, that's a whole nother story that I won't get into right now. But for many, many years, I lived in denial of that. And it impacted my ministry. And it impacted my relationship with the person that I loved most in this life. But I'm not defined by my issue. However, it is important for me, for us, as we introduce ourselves and celebrate recovery, to name our issues or our sins. It's important to bring them out of the darkness and into the light. Oh yes, we've prayed and we've talked to God about it. We've asked for forgiveness. But so often, as you know, human experience, by not bringing it out into the light and allowing others to know what our struggles are, oftentimes we continue to repeat the same behaviors and experience failure over and over and over again. It's important for us to let each other know what we struggle with because there is power in confession. He sat down with his friend, his brother from church, in the coffee shop, and they were going to share a cup of coffee together and catch up. It had been a while. And so his brother from the church asked him, so, How you doing? How are things going in your life? He took a sip of his coffee, and he managed a broad smile across his face, and cheerily he said, great, great, man, everything's going great in my life. But even as he spoke those words, he was convicted of their falseness. The truth was, things were not going great in his life. He was under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress at work, and it was not going well at all. He feared that he might lose his job. But yet he couldn't bring himself to be honest with his brother in Christ, who was sincerely asking. He wasn't coping with that stress at work very well. A few months earlier, he had had some minor surgery. They gave him some pain pills, you know, to deal with the immediate pain, sent him home with the pills. He didn't take all of them at that particular point in time. But over the next few weeks and months, the stress at work continued to build. And as he came home one evening, he had this terrible, terrible headache. And he thought to himself, you know, I've still got some of those pain pills. I'll just take one just to take the edge off. And it worked. And it wasn't long before he didn't really need an excuse to take the pain pills. Then he started going to see his doctor, just manufacturing, you know, physical issues, physical complaints. But after a while, his doctor became suspicious and wouldn't write him any more prescriptions. Then he learned about somebody who would supply him with the meds that he needed, the pain pills. A phone call, a place to meet, exchange of money, and his problems were taken care of. But not really. In reality, things were getting worse. And he was on the verge of losing his job. His relationship with his family, his parents, and his siblings was suffering. So when he was asked by his brother from church, how are things going these days? He reached deep down into his hidden self. He pulled out the mask and put on another performance. And the resulting guilt consumed him. I think we would all acknowledge that a lot of mask wearing goes on in churches. Now, it may not be about something as desperate as an addiction. For instance, it could just be a profound hurt or a trauma experienced much earlier in life that continues to manifest itself in unhealthy choices and behaviors that affect our relationships. It could be in something else like narcissism, selfishness. And we tried to deal with those issues ourselves in our own power, our own strength, but nothing seems to improve. As we make one bad choice after another, hurting those around us, blame and guilt compound the situation. And instead of admitting it and allowing others in, we put on our mask and we live in denial rather than opening ourselves to the healing power of Christ and confession. And then there's the other side. Those who would rather not know about the things that other people are struggling with. Those who want to maintain their surface relationships with people at church. Those who don't really want to know what their brothers and sisters struggle with because it could conflict with the happy illusion they might have created about that person. In either case, the result is that healthy community is stifled. Principle 4 of Celebrate Recovery states, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. It's based on Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who hide nothing impure in their hearts. Blessed are those who are always willing to open their hearts and their lives to the merciful watch of God. James 5:16, the text I asked you to turn to a few moments ago, is also helpful here. And it reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." This passage in James is in the context of the effectiveness of prayer in various life situations. In this case, if someone is sick, they're instructed to call on the elders, and the elders of the church will pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. In that time, it was thought that there was a direct correlation between sin and sickness. Now, we may or may not agree with that view, but there is some evidence of a link between physical and emotional health on the one hand and unresolved guilt on the other. There's a disagreement among biblical commentators and scholars over whether James is talking about a symbolic act in the anointing or if he's referring to a medicinal aspect of oil. There's also disagreement over whether he's talking about physical healing or spiritual healing. But what is agreed upon is that there is power and the confession of sin in our lives. That there is power in being open and honest, not only with God, but with each other. And I believe that we can expand that principle to apply to virtually all of our hurts, hang-ups, and habits, as they are referred to in Celebrate Recovery. So anything that interferes with our relationship with God and our relationships with the people that we love and the people around us, when those things become barriers to healthy relationships with God and when they have a negative effect on our relationships, they can then cross over the line from just issues that we deal with into sin. And when they are not dealt with, they can result in a profound guilt, a paralyzing guilt. Scripture, in other places, addresses the negative effects of unconfessed sin and unresolved guilt in our lives. For instance, in Psalm 32, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist states, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Then he goes on to say, When I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. What a profound picture of unresolved guilt. In Psalm 38, verse 4, David petitioned the Lord, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Now, guilt can have profoundly destructive effects on our lives. For instance, guilt, as we've already implied, can damage our relationships with the people that we love. Can also damage our relationship with God. It can cause us to respond to people in wrong ways. It can make us impatient with people. It can cause us to overreact to people in anger and frustration. It can cause us to be defensive and even to overindulge people as a way to assuage our guilt. It can cause us to be dishonest with other people. How are things in your life? Oh, man, things are great. Great. It can cause us to be dishonest with other people, with ourselves, and not least, with God. Another thing is that unresolved guilt keeps us stuck where we are. It keeps us from growing and from becoming all that God wants us to be in Christ. We just keep replaying in our minds, you know, that act or that thing that created the guilt because we haven't dealt with it yet. And just like an unending loop, it just keeps playing over and over and over in our minds, and we're just stuck there. Unresolved guilt can't change the past, nor can it create a better future. All it can do is burden us down in the present, keeping us in the rut our lives have fallen into. And this unresolved guilt that we so often carry can lead to shame. Although they are connected, I think that there is a difference between the two. Guilt is a focus on behavior, the things that I've done, the things that I've done to other people and ultimately to God. Shame, on the other hand, is a focus on self. It's how I've come to feel about myself. Guilt is, you know, I did something bad. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I made a mistake. Shame is, I am a mistake. And when the thing that I've done wrong isn't dealt with, then I eventually see myself as defined by that wrong, which in turn can lead to feelings of worthlessness, and worthlessness leads to feelings of hopelessness. But there is an upside to guilt. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. There is an upside to guilt. Guilt can be motivational. It can motivate me to make changes in my life. It can motivate change if we're willing to bring our stuff, our mess, into the light. If we're willing to be vulnerable with other people. James says, confess your sins, and he doesn't stop there. But confess your sins to one another. Now, at this point, we might be thinking, well, I thought it was enough just to confess my sins to God. Well, absolutely, that's the place to begin. That's always the place to begin. Confess to God. But sometimes we get involved with patterns of particular issues and behaviors and attitudes and sins. We confess to God, and then find ourselves committing the same behaviors over and over and over again, confessing over and over and over again. Now, God is merciful, God is forgiving, and God is gracious. But God loves us too much to leave us in that loop and wants us to break out of it, wants us to move beyond it, and to begin moving into the direction of conformity into the image of Christ. What's needed is vulnerability with each other, a willingness to open myself and my brokenness to other people. You see, when I bring my sin out of the darkness and into the light, when I share my burden with other people, healing begins. There's a saying in Celebrate Recovery, I am as sick as my secrets. When I bring my secrets into the light of being vulnerable with other people, healing begins. And God uses that to bring about his healing that we talked about last week. The more that I hide something, on the other hand, the bigger it grows. But when I risk being vulnerable with other people, there's a freedom that comes with that. There's a liberation that comes with that as the burden is lifted from my heart and from my shoulders and from my mind. The burden is lifted as I find real freedom and forgiveness in Christ. And with forgiveness comes the reassurance that I matter to God and I matter to other people. I'm not defined by my sin. Rather, I'm defined by how much I'm loved by God and my relationship with Jesus Christ. So, what's the forum for that confession? Does it have to be in front of the whole church? It can be, but it doesn't have to be. The power of confession can be experienced in community with one other person that I trust, or in community with several people that I trust. The important thing is that I be vulnerable with someone else and join with them in the power of prayer. But unfortunately, what I've experienced is that most churches are not comfortable with vulnerability. And that's unfortunate. The power of Celebrate Recovery is that it provides a safe place where people can be open, honest, and vulnerable with one another. And God uses that. I want to make sure that we understand this. The healing is not in Celebrate Recovery. The healing is in God. He uses Celebrate Recovery and other ministries simply as an instrument of his power. But the power of Celebrate Recovery, again, is that it provides a safe place where we can be open and God can continue his healing and wholeness, removing the shame that cripples so many of us. It's a safe place where we can put the mask away. Sounds like what the church should be and can be. Just a moment, Lawson is going to lead us in a song. We'll stand and sing together. I just want you to know that whatever is going on in your life, you are not defined by that issue. The defining reality is God's love for you and the offer of forgiveness and wholeness in Christ. And if you want that burden in your life to be lifted, it begins with a decision followed by a step toward God. And if we can help you with that today, hope you'll share it with us. Let's stand, sing together.